Well, good afternoon. Thanks everybody for joining us. My name is Clint.
I'm Haley.
And this is our live Sunday. We call it our Sunday live stream. We call it a few different things, but it's basically just we're live streaming on Sunday. So it's our Sunday live stream. And, you know, we come on here and it's live. I don't know why we need to do live, but do you know why we do it live? I don't know either.
I have no idea.
But it goes live to our app, to our website, and to YouTube. And the point of this time is this is our really our only public time.
Yes.
Interfacing with, you know, people out there, a potential 7 billion, but more like 7.
7 billion. What's the difference? Just numbers.
Because we are engaged. We're engaged in a battle for not only sound doctrine, but we're engaged in a real battle as the church for the entire planet.
Mm-hmm.
And also, which shouldn't be the case, but it is, and it is the case in the New Testament, we're engaged in a battle for the church of Jesus Christ.
For maturity.
We're engaged in a battle for maturity. It is the thing that Paul said, I wrestle with, I strive with, and he said, with everything within me, he said, I even am laboring as a woman in childbirth till Christ be formed in you. And most people have not been taught this gospel. You know, they haven't been taught this gospel of, you know, we have a purpose. We have been given a purpose. Let's all look at this computer now.
I'm actually looking at you.
Okay. We've been taught and handed down a purpose by way of tradition in the body of Christ. And that purpose has led to error because it has it's caused us to abdicate the goal of everything that Jesus did.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have the enemy come in with deceitfulness and cunningness and lies. And there's a really great word that starts with a P that's in the Weiss translation. I cannot remember that now, but it is a word that means to dilute slowly. It's like a slow leading away into evil.
Mm.
And pernicious.
Pernicious. That's the word I was thinking of. Is it? Pernicious.
Well, you should have just popped off with
it. Sorry. I would have looked so smart.
One of the reasons the Holy Spirit's in you. So, we see that in the world. You can see that right now. It's not a slow leading away into evil. Like, in the current culture, it's just like fast.
It's a dive bomb.
Yeah. The current culture is dive bombing and everyone is, there is a spirit behind this. I mean, obviously it's the devil, but it is a well-orchestrated and calculated plan. That's not necessarily a new plan,
mm-mm,
but it's new. It's new in our modern era, where everyone is completely swallowing hook, line, and sinker. You know, a hedonistic type lifestyle that enthrones self.
Mm.
It's very much what we would read about in the New Testament, where some of these cultures, like in the Roman culture, you know, where they enthrone self, and you know, the point is the enemy is trying to do is he's introducing lawlessness through the darkened understanding of the wisdom of man that declares there is no absolute truth.
Mm.
And if there's no absolute truth, that means, you know, if you're a man, you can be a woman if you want. And if you're a woman, you can be a man. You know, that whole thing and the pronouns. And now they have other pronouns now that are made-up pronouns. So it's not just he, him, her, or whatever, they, her. By the way, that one's really interesting, the they, them, those or whatever.
Because there's more than
one of you
in there.
You got more than one of you in there. That's
sweetheart, you do really have more than one. You're plural.
But this is, you know, I don't know why I haven't heard any Christian leaders besides maybe just the very, very small amount that we follow that we look to as spiritual leadership and fathers. There's nobody calling out this for what it is. And it's just people that are demonized, you know. People are many levels of demonization, small levels, you know, just a little influence. That's mostly church people. And then high levels of influence. And that's people that are, you know, they're just under just such a delusion about who they are. Mm-hmm. And anyway, I was going for a great point there, but the devil's leading us into lawlessness.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's where I was going. Yeah. Leading us into lawlessness. And the church, this is the church's fault, because we ourselves have been lawless, because we have abdicated our purpose. So this purpose, in fact, is to subdue the devil and all of his works, mm-hmm. to completely remove the influence of the enemy from the earth. And if you ask most churches or pastors or church people, Christians, you know, what the purpose of the church is, they would come up with probably 100 answers, but mm-hmm. they would probably be somewhere around there. Well, like, you know, the church is the body of Christ, you know, just kind of
to love people.
Yeah. You know, just kind of like higher level explanations, but no, nothing that's actionable. Mm-hmm. Yet with the word of God is quite simple and clear, full of actionable yeah. truth. Which is, well, let's just start out where we always go with Matthew 10, 7 and 8. As you go, preach mm-hmm. that the kingdom is at hand. Heal the sick, period. Mm-hmm. Let's see. I'm trying to think about which translation to use here. We'll just go, cast out devils, period. Mm-hmm. Raise the dead, period. And that is not how modern Christianity reads the Bible. Mm-mm. They don't read it as something that they need to obey.
But if your gospel is not actionable,
well, it's getting people saved, and it's about having a church service thing. So
I don't consider that actionable.
No,
sorry.
So we've lost our purpose, is what I'm saying, and you can tell because modern society is just completely going off the rails. Mm-hmm. I mean, like big time. Like I don't think we've seen it this off the rails since, like, I wasn't alive, but, you know, in the 60s, where there was just, you know, the free love and all that.
Yeah, and, the rampant sexual sin.
Yeah, the rampant stuff. Now this is even more slippery. This is a little more devious. This is a little more even damaging, I would say, mm-hmm. because you're dealing with people's minds here, and these people are going to have to, you know, if these people get born again, they're going to have to turn their mind around. Mm-hmm. They're going to have yeah. to really overcome. And if you're not a Christian who has overcome in your own mind, you're going to be unable to help them.
This is true.
And you're going to, so we've got a church, you know, a blanket statement here. We've got a church that has failed to renew their own mind. And now we've got an entire generation of modern society who, even if they do get born again, they will have no one to disciple them in their own mind renewal. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you were a male and you switched to female and you're going to get born again and switch back to male now, then you're going to
who
is going to help you do that? Okay. Mm-hmm. So we've got a big situation in the body of Christ, big situation in the planet. That's why we do these Sunday things.
Very, very intense, heavy.
Well, it is heavy.
It is, yes.
You know? Yeah, so we do this because we want to put this out there. We want to have it available. You know, people are going to be playing this back in 10 or 15 years, and this is the truth. It's the Word of God, and we're trying to get this out, not only in our region. We're actively participating mm-hmm. and combating these things in our region, but we're also, even as awesome and as forward as we are there, we are way more forward even on our own selves and our own mind. We are subduing ourselves. I like what you say. We subdue ourselves and subdue our enemies.
I subdue myself and I subdue my enemy.
That's very, very powerful. So we've got some ways that you can join with us to partner in the own renewing of your mind and the own equipping of your life. Mm-hmm. And you're going to talk to us about that. What are you going to start with?
Our app.
Okay.
We have an app. It's very cool. It's free.
It's cool.
It's cool. I like it. I mean, I don't know. I'm going to be 44, guys. I'm not sure if I know what is actually cool if cool is an appropriate word. It is a tool with the goal of equipping people with daily content, videos, podcasts, and our entire 24-week training cycle is on the app. So yeah. you can access that wherever you are, in your car, on your really long commute to the job that you hate, or at home, you know, wherever you're doing, you know, between the washer and the dryer, Mom, you can equip yourself. Yeah. And it's totally free. You can get it wherever you buy your apps, the Apple App Store or Google Play.
Yeah. We say downright offensive stuff on that thing. So
that is awesome. The next thing we have is...
Why don't you talk about the discipleship
training? Our discipleship training
cycle. You mentioned
cycle.
It. Why don't you talk about it?
So 24 weeks. And, you know, that's really a departure from the way the normal church would do something, because we do 24 weeks and then we start and we do it again. Why? Because these are the things that we have figured out are the most helpful to get people discipled into a mature place very rapidly.
Quickly.
It shouldn't take you 20 years of sitting in your church, listening to, you know, your preacher's opinion and tithing, or multiple preachers if you're in a denomination that cycles through people, and giving your dollars that you, you know, work for at the job that you hate, and then never being able to fulfill your destiny. So we have a goal of discipling people, growing them up into maturity as quickly as we can, and releasing them into their own works of ministry to heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons, cleanse lepers, set their world and their sphere into order for the advancement of the kingdom. Yeah,
they need to go do the work, don't they?
And if your pastor is not doing that for you, then I, you know, frankly, you should get a new one.
That's right. All right. Now, what's next?
Our co-laborer call.
Okay, let's talk about that.
So we have a something on Wednesday nights that we call our co-laborers call. Co-laborers is what, you know.
That's that Greek word, synergos, where we get the word synergy. And Paul used that word to describe Timothy and the entire church at Corinth.
Yes. So we want you to be a co-laborer with us. That's
and
a good
in the kingdom.
Thing. Yes, in the kingdom. So it's a weekly live video call where we have question and answer. There is some teaching. There's some fellowship. It's not like you're watching this, like you're watching us and we can't interact with you. It's very interactive. You can stop. You can pause. You ask questions. Ask for prayer requests. Give reports of your successes and failures throughout the week.
Of your failures?
Well, you know. So anyway, you can sign up for that on our website or on the app.
There you go. Let's see. Let's go to
our four things.
Yeah, there we go. So we have a way that we structure things, and this is the way we're doing things right now. And the reason why we do the things that we do is so we can win.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to do anything or put anything in place that's not going to cause us to win or cause people to win.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't do church the traditional way. I had somebody reach out to me recently, and they want to do maybe an event with us, and it's like I don't know if the way you're used to doing church is going to work with this.
Oh yeah,
you know?
I don't know about that anymore.
So we have gone completely outside the norm in order to make disciples who can do the works of Jesus, and it's so fulfilling to see church people like churched people, you know, people who have grown up in church their whole life. So many people grow up in church and are never born again. They're never gone through a born-again experience, never been filled with the Holy Spirit. And to see those people who've gone through years and years and years of bondage come into the light and then explode with power, right? Mm-hmm. We've seen people, I mean, people that are addicts with a rich church history. You know? People.
It's so terrible.
People that have been trained by to believe traditions and doctrines of men that are not in the Bible, but they preach them as the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And these people have zero ability to overcome anything in their life. And we see those people come into power. Mm-hmm. You know, once you get your mind renewed, we were talking about this the other day. You were looking back in a journal like 5 years ago. And you were pointing out, like, even back then I was starting to really renew my mind, because you would write down what you thought, and then you would inspect what you wrote down and be like, well, that's not the truth. And then you'd write the word of God that contradicted it, basically.
Yeah, exactly. You know, people think if you are walking in faith, then you cannot admit out loud, you know, be careful what you say, brother. And there is an element of that, but
you don't want to say my back is killing me.
No, but you know what? I was very open and honest and vulnerable with Jesus, not with my neighbor.
Oh, Facebook.
And anybody else who, you know, struggles with the same issues that I was having. I was very vulnerable and honest with Jesus. I put it all out there, and then I examined it with him and found lies and false, and then countered them with what is truth, and decided I will believe what is truth,
there,
and I don't
go.
Care how I feel about it.
That's so powerful. That's the key to freedom. That's the key to beginning to follow in the footsteps of Jesus, man. Jesus said, you worship me in vain because you teach as doctrine the traditions of men.
Yeah.
He had a big thing about this. Elsewhere in Mark 7:13, he said, you have had handed down to you traditions of men, which makes the word of God of no effect. It makes it void. That word in the Greek, void, means to remove authority. And so that's a church that where we see who have done very little to renew the minds of people, where you see the robbing of the effect of the Word of God in their life. Therefore, they are not equipped, they're not empowered, they're not enabled to do any work, let alone mature into the likeness of Christ. We're stuck with self-help, we're stuck with modern church fad things, and we're just kind of following everybody around, you know, what's popular in church. Okay? Listen, we're not only called to tear the gates off of hell, we are instructed that the gates of hell will not prevail against us. And but really, nobody's even getting to the gates of hell. All right. Okay, so...
four things.
Who's doing the four things? I'm confused about all this because we changed it.
Nope, this is exactly how we normally do
it. Are you doing
it.
The house church?
Yes, okay. I do. Why do we do house churches? Because we are just completely off the rails. And...
we're off the church rails, but off God's rails.
Different than the normal. No, the reason we do house churches...
We're on God's rails.
The reason we do house churches is because of all of the things that I said about our discipleship training cycle.
You need to scoot over a little.
Because our goal is...
There you go.
Our goal is to turn you into a gate of hell ripper-offer devil-killing machine.
Yeah.
And the way to do that is by turning you into a mature Christian who looks like Jesus.
You can be. No matter where you're at right now, you can become a very stable, powerful person that leads other people into stability and power and the works of Jesus.
Yes.
You can do it.
So that's why we do house churches.
Yeah. Regional gatherings, is that what's next?
That's you.
That's mostly just bringing, you know, house churches together. That's a bigger corporate expression. Since we do meet in houses, our you know, platform is the living room. That's because we want to have a... we can only... How many people can you disciple? Jesus really discipled 12. He had the 70, but he didn't have the personal interaction. And if you're going to disciple someone, you need the life-on-life thing. You need the close thing. Jesus said, follow me, because the only reason, only way he could make people like him was if they were around him all the time.
It's true.
You know, and if we want to make disciples, we're definitely not going to do that once a week with 500 people or whatever. You know, you got a greater chance if you've got once a week with just a few who can get close.
Yeah.
Okay, so, and we spend more time, and we actually train people by going door to door. We train people to teach, preach, and heal the sick, cast out devils, by going out and doing it, which is how Jesus did it. So our regional gatherings are just a regular thing. We're going to India here, but we'll try to get one together before the end of the year. Maybe we'll see how it goes. Third thing is outreach. Is that me still?
Yes, that's you.
Okay. This is on based out of Luke chapter 10. When Jesus sends out the 70 in groups of two, he said, go into every city where I myself am about to enter and heal the sick that are there. So we're taking personal responsibility to not only evict sickness and disease, eradicate it from our city, setting people free, but we're also, what we could say, evangelizing, which means we are spreading the truth. We are spreading the truth and tearing down lies. Many times, like James and Judah are really good at this. They'll get on somebody's porch for a half an hour, 45 minutes, and they just teach the Word of God, and they just start tearing down lies, and they're bringing people into the truth, and that's important. You know, the Mormons do that. You know, the Jehovah's Witnesses do that. They got their own literature and their own lies that they're spreading. Where are the sons of God?
Yeah.
You know, we need to do a way better job, at least, by doing that. So that's what we're doing. That is our outreach. We see most people we touch are instantly healed, no matter what it is. People just encountering the power of God. Yesterday was a very powerful day. I'll share a testimony here in a minute about that. But if you're interested in that outreach, you can't just show up and expect to go. We have to first of all find out, is there room? Because we're not going to show up on somebody's porch with 50 people.
No, that would be awkward.
So two or three at the most.
Yeah.
And so, but if you're interested in getting trained, because you can't come and do it with us, and unless you're going to be in unity with us. All right. So if you're interested in and even just coming, getting trained, going out with us, reach out to us. App, website. There's plenty of places.
Finances weaponized.
Yeah.
All right. While we're not building big buildings and big ministries, we are free to use our finances to do what finances do best, which is their tools to help solve problems.
I thought you were going
to
say buy corn dogs.
That too. I really like the big, long State Fair corn dogs with the mustard down the side.
Yep.
But anyway, it's for caring for people. The Bible is very, very clear about caring for people. Actually, I've heard Curry Blake talk about that. I think it's Curry Blake, that Sodom and Gomorrah wasn't actually judged for all the things that we know happened there. It was the way they treated the poor.
Oops.
And so it's a big deal to God to care for people.
We find
so
a lot of poor people out
that
there.
That is what we do with our finances.
Yeah. My favorite thing to do with people that need stuff is to ask them what they need and then say, what else? And I just keep writing it on the list until they finish.
And then go buy it.
And then we go buy it. And if we can't buy it, we pray. But usually we can. Yeah. Usually we can take care of it. All right, that's our four things. So if you want to find out more about us and who we are, what we're doing this, you know, already, you're either interested or you're not based on how we talk. But we have real power to back up what we're saying. We heal the sick. We cast out devils. We see people born again right here in Southwest Missouri, Joplin, Missouri. We're very aggressive about it. That's because what we're doing is working. Yes. So transfigured.church, that's our website. Also, you can reach out to us if you have a request for healing on the app or on the website, and we'll personally interact with you within a day. We'll get to you. If it's a severe thing, life or death, we'll respond right away. All right? Anything else, Ms. Haley,
that
you
want
to bring up? All right, today, we'll be right back. Today, we're going to be talking about a couple things. We'll see. I don't really have a title for it. I don't title these things, but later I'm like, oh, that was like we talked about this. So I've got some scriptures and some things I want to go over. We'll do that right when we come back. All right, everybody, welcome back. Thanks for joining us today. Today we're going to talk about, first of all, we're going to open up with a scripture from Matthew 4, 23 through 25. This is the era of church programs and doing all things that we can do to get people inside the four walls of the church building. But that's not necessarily the pattern or the model that we read about in the New Testament. The model in the New Testament and the pattern that we see in the New Testament is based on the new creation man, we call it, and Jesus is the model. He's really the only model of the new creation man or this new man. You know, Paul teaches it like this, which we go over extensively in our training cycle. There is two races of people on the earth and two fathers of each race. The first race, which are born condemned, because through the sin of one man, death entered the world. So that sin is inherited through every single person born on this earth. Whether you think you lived a good life or not, it doesn't matter, because you inherited sin and thereby death from your father, the first Adam. And Paul, the apostle, writes, and he called this man, this first Adam, the man made of dust, and he has a race of people just like him. All right. Now, the other race of people was started by another head or another father, which is Jesus Christ. And he is the firstborn among many brethren. The Bible says that's King James. Other translations say that he's the firstborn among many, just like him. And this race is not from a man who was made from dust. Okay. There is a new race of people on the earth that do not come from the man made from dust, which was Adam, the first Adam. The second race of people come from the last Adam, which is Jesus Christ. And Paul writes also that we have been translated, if you have been born again, you have been translated out of the kingdom of darkness or the race of the first Adam, the man made of dust, and been translated into the kingdom of his dear son. And this kingdom is the kingdom of heaven on the earth, and it is the new creation humanity after the likeness and image of Jesus Christ. And so that is what it means to have your sins canceled and to become a new man. And we use this word, I mean, we use it, I use it often. It's mentioned about three times in the New Testament. So not often, but it's this term being born again or reborn. Some translations say. Also, we see the phrase born of the Spirit, which Jesus uses. But what this means is, if you are, this is how we describe it when we're preaching the gospel of the kingdom to people who are not born again. We tell them that in order to enter God's kingdom or his family, you must be reborn, which means you have been born once already from your mother. Everyone is born from their mother, okay? Now you need to be reborn by the Spirit in order to enter God's kingdom or God's family, okay? And then we go through all that. But really, what we're saying is not only do you have an instant where your spirit is completely recreated, like the Bible talks about, after the likeness and image of Jesus, sin is canceled and you are recreated. That means you are made into the likeness of Jesus Christ. You get God's nature. I mean, it's like sin never happened in your spirit, okay? That's what that is. That's how powerful that is. As he is, so are we in this world, the Bible says in 1 John. So we have this moment where we are recreated in our spirit. Our spirit becomes brand new, all right? But to say being born again means that you're starting a new life, okay? So to be reborn means I'm going to start over. I'm going to start a new identity. I'm going to start a new life. I'm going to start over as someone else. That's what it means. This is what Jesus meant when he said, if you want to follow me, you must deny yourself, take up your cross. Okay? In context, in Mark especially, I think that's where this is at, Jesus speaks plainly to the disciples. And he says to them, you know, it is destined that I, the Messiah, am going to be persecuted. I'm going to be whipped, beat. I'm going to die. And in 3 days, I'll be raised up again. And it even says that there in that section, he says, and he spoke to them plainly about these things. Well, Peter takes offense at that. He gets upset because he's following Jesus. Of course, Peter is a pretty gung-ho guy. And he's like, this is not going to happen. I'm going to make sure that no one touches you, Jesus. Don't worry about it. I got your back. That's basically what Peter's saying. Well, Jesus wheels around and says, Peter, get behind me. And he says, Satan, get behind me, Satan, because you only have in mind the things of men. And then he says, if anyone wants to follow me, he must deny self. That word self is the word for mind, which is psuche. It's mind and soul. It's like your soul life. So Peter's unrenewed mind was getting in the way of God's mission and purpose in Christ. And that is why Jesus said, one of the reasons why Jesus said, if you want to follow me, you've got to get rid of your old mindset. You've got to get rid of the mindset that has in mind only the things of man. And you've got to gain a mind that takes responsibility for God's mind, for God's things, for the plan of God and purpose of God in the earth. And so many people are stuck right there. They've got Peter's mind still. They're operating as a mere human. They're operating as a earthly man, not understanding and not having understanding revelation on the truth of the Word of God. The truth of the Word of God is that Jesus is the firstborn of a brand new race of people who have been recreated in their spirits to become just like him. And then he gave to the church 5 leadership gifts, apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, evangelist, in order to bring people into full maturity, even at the level of Jesus Christ. Whatever level Jesus Christ is, which we call mature, the job of the fivefold leaders is to bring all saints, the entire body, into the same level of maturity. This is the church. This is the process of church, okay? That's not church as you know it or church as you've experienced it, but this is biblical church. You read about that in Ephesians 4:11. And the purpose, reason why we have to come into full maturity is because we have been tasked as the church, as we stated in the very beginning, to put all of his enemies, all of his enemies, how many enemies? All. Who? His enemies. All of his enemies under his feet, and thereby cutting off the influence of the kingdom of darkness in the earth. As a mature son of God, you will walk out from under the influence of the enemy, no longer terrorized, no longer demonized, no longer accepting lies of the enemy, no longer accepting twisted truth or falsehood, but you're going to step into the mind of Christ, which Paul says we have. Now, when you get someone who has renewed their mind, has gone from Peter to Jesus, has gone from the thinking of a mere man to the thinking and understanding of Jesus, then you've got someone who has the ability to manifest Jesus Christ through their life. And we're going to talk about that a little bit, about manifesting Jesus Christ, about becoming someone who can manifest him on purpose. There's so many traditions and things that the enemy has introduced because he's a trickster, and he's very cunning, and he has tricked at large the church, mostly. The ones that carry the true revelation of the gospel and walk in it are not many, okay? Not many. So we have this situation now where two races on the earth, and the new race of heavenly people after the likeness and image of Jesus Christ, the equippers, the fivefold apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, evangelist, who are called to bring them into full maturity. And so I'm going to read this verse here, and we're going to read what it looks like to live as this new mature man. You know, what does it look like to become just like Jesus? You know, what does it look like to grow into the measure of the stature of his fullness, like we often read out of Ephesians 4:11. I'm going to read it for you, okay? Now, I want you to just hear the Bible. I just want you to hear the Word of God. You're going to try to listen to this through the filter of everything that you know and understand about your Christian worldview, which is wrong, okay? Let's take the Bible, and let's get this, and let's hear what it's saying for real. This is Matthew 4:23-25. Says, speaking of Jesus, and he, so remember, this is what it looks like to live as a son of God. This is what it looks like to live as a new man, a mature son of God. This is what it looks like. And he went throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction among the people. So his fame spread throughout all Syria, and they brought him all the sick, those afflicted with various diseases and pains, those oppressed by demons, those having seizures, paralytics, and he healed them. And great crowds followed him from Galilee and the Decapolis, which is a 10-city region there, and from Jerusalem and Judea, and from beyond the Jordan. So what does it look like to walk as a son of God, okay? It looks like this. Jesus went out teaching, okay, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom. What does it mean to proclaim the gospel of the kingdom? It's not just words. Listen, as a son of God, we do this, and we have a responsibility to do it like Jesus did it and to obey his commands to do it like he did it. And it says healing every disease and every affliction among the people. See, this is why you have the huge dichotomy between what's in here and what you know is available and what you know is true and the reality that we all live in. Okay, I say we all, not all of us are living there. But the reality that most Christians live in. How? Listen, you know, people are so divided in their minds about this, about walking as a mature son, that they assume, since they aren't doing healing every disease, since they aren't doing healing every affliction among the people, they assume it's not possible. They elevate their contradictory experience against the truth of the Word of God, okay? What do you mean truth of the Word of God? That was just Jesus, yes. But also Jesus, I've quoted it once already, and Matthew chapter 10 and other places, he says, heal the sick, period. This is a command. Heal the sick. It is the will of God to heal the sick. I didn't say pray for the sick. I didn't say ask God to heal the sick. I didn't say lift sick people up in prayer. It says command, heal the sick, period. Okay. Also preach the gospel. Okay. Most people have no idea what this is, but it's very simple. This is the good news of the supremacy and the superiority of the kingdom of God on the planet through Jesus Christ. All things, Jesus has been set above all things and in dominion over all things, and we have been seated with him on his throne. It says we actually ascended with him, and we have been seated with him there, and he is seated there until all of his enemies are made his footstool, okay? So he expects, he modeled this, all of his enemies under his footstool concerning sickness and disease. How many did he heal? All, okay? Every disease, healing every disease and affliction among the people. All right, now, despite whether you think that's possible, okay, and it is, and many times when we go on our outreach, every single person is healed, okay? That was the case yesterday. Sometimes you minister to people who are asymptomatic and they need a test. What is an asymptomatic disease anyway? I don't know. You tell me. You tell me how that works. But people who have real problems, who have real issues. Last week we prayed for a man who was wheelchair bound simply because of the excruciating pain in his knees. And we set him free of that wheelchair. And, you know, he was able to stand with great pain before, but we set him free of the pain, which means we set him free of the wheelchair. He lived his life in a stupid motorized wheelchair, and his wife came home, which is kind of funny, you know, who are these strange men in my house? His wife came home right after he had been healed completely, set free completely, and she came home, and he sat back down in the chair, because we were sitting there talking to fellowship, and he jumps out of the chair, and he said, look, no pain. He's an older gentleman. That was quite a miraculous thing. Now, many times we touch, everybody we touch are completely healed. Are we walking in the fullness of this yet? No, we are not. Okay. We're not, you know, even Paul said, it's awesome. Paul is probably the best example because many cases wherever we see the apostles mentioned as healing, it says they healed them all. In fact, Paul, even on the island of Malta, said they brought all the sick to him and he healed them all there. So we see these apostles, the early believers, doing this job just like Jesus, is because they were around him and he modeled it to them, and he expected them to heal the sick. In that story in Luke 10, where he sent out the 70, he said, go into every city and heal the sick that are there. Can you imagine Jesus giving you that command? Yet he has, because it is written in the Word of God. What in Matthew 28, it says, go and disciple all nations, teaching them to obey every command I have given you. That's what it means to make a disciple. You teach people to obey the commands of Jesus, and then they obey them. That is a disciple, okay? That is someone who has left their life. So when Jesus is rebuking Peter, calling him Satan, he is leaving his own mind and adopting the mind of Jesus Christ and following Jesus in this mind. How does this mind operate? How does this new man operate? How does this recreated, translated man out of the darkness into the light operate? Just like Jesus. Just put your name in here. He went throughout the all Galilee teaching and proclaiming the gospel and of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction among the people. All right, now imagine that's you in your city. You can do it. It can be done. Now, let's read what's next. So his fame spread throughout all Syria. you know, everybody's doing their best. Like, this is the digital, this is the social media generation. This is the digital age. So now we just present the gospel digitally because that's the, that's where everyone are at. Okay. Okay, fine. Use it. I mean, this is digital right now. But at the same time, the fame spread because he went throughout the region and laid hands on people and set them free. What if you or your family or your husband or wife or your you and your children, I mean, all my kids go out with me. They all heal the sick and cast out demons. They're all able to speak for God. What if you and maybe even your church or your study group, or your discipleship group, whoever, whatever you're with, you began to do the works of Jesus. You began to obey the Bible. You began to put your feet in his footsteps. See, modern church has made this about so many other things, except putting your feet in his footsteps. That's what I'm, this is the truth I'm speaking to you, that it is a command for us to put our feet in his footsteps. He said, follow me. Follow me. That's his command to you. That's his word to you. How do we follow him? Start going. Go and teach, proclaim the kingdom, and then demonstrate the dominion of its power over all of his enemies. His enemies must be subdued. All right? So his fame spread throughout all Syria. So while we're in the modern digital age, trying to get everybody in the chat room, the live stream, the Sunday worship service, all the emails and mailing and flyers. Listen, it's simple. All you got to do is heal all the sick. Simple. All right? So his fame spread. Then what happened? They brought him all the sick. Those afflicted with various diseases and pains, those oppressed by demons, those having seizures and paralytics, and he healed them. And great crowds followed him. Everybody's talking about a billion soul harvests. Listen, you may get people to say a prayer, okay? But if you don't get their feet in his footsteps, and you don't get your feet in your footsteps, we're not going to defeat we're not going to defeat his enemies, and we're not going to get great crowds putting their feet in his footsteps either. See, the goal is to remove the influence of the kingdom of darkness. There was no influence in Jesus of the devil's kingdom. Jesus himself said, the devil comes and he has nothing in me, right? What if that was you? The devil wants to take you out. But what if he has nothing in you? What if there's zero influence in your mind from the enemy? What if there's zero influence in your soul life from the enemy? What if there's zero influence in your body from the enemy? I tell you what, you begin to start manifesting Jesus Christ, okay? What if you could train your family in that? What if you could start making disciples in that? What if you could start leading people and discipling groups of people into that? What if your entire city became discipled? What if nations become discipled? Well, that's our command in Matthew 28, to go into all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey all the things I've commanded you. If we can get disciples of nations going, then we remove the influence of the prince of the power of the air, Satan, the evil one, the kingdom of darkness, corruption, sin. We can remove its influence from the earth. And at that point, it will be on earth as it is in heaven. At that point, the kingdom of God, which is not a place, it's a rule. It's an authority. It's a dominion. It's a governing. It's a government. It will be in place and set up, and it will keep order. What kind of order? Heavenly order on the earth, which is exactly what we have been commanded to do. It is the purpose of the church. It is the job of the church, and we must, in order for you to step in this, you've got to take personal responsibility for it. Put your feet today, put your feet in his footsteps, teach, preach the kingdom, and then go eradicate sickness and disease. And this is actually what we tell people when we go out. We're in your neighborhood today. This is the first thing we tell them. We tell them we belong to a group of people who are devoted to the eradication of sickness and disease in this area, and we're in your neighborhood today, healing the sick in the name of Jesus. Who in your house needs to be healed? Let me wrap it up here with a story from yesterday. So we walked up to this house, me and one of my sons, and we walked up to this house and, knock on the door, nice and strong, Nobody answers. We just wait. You know, we don't wait there very long, maybe 30 seconds. Then we have a little track that that we wrote. And, you know, if nobody answers, we leave it there. And so it's got our personal number on it, and it talks about the kingdom of God. And so we go on to the next house, and this is near the end of our day. Yesterday, of outreach, going door-to-door to heal the sick. And we're at the next house, and then we notice that this lady comes out of that house where we just were, but there's no answer. She comes out of that house, and she's like on our trail. She is marching down the street towards us, and like, you know, usually that's not a good sign, right? But we meet her in the street. I said, "Yes, ma'am. How can I help you?" She's like, "You were just at my house." I said, "Yes, ma'am." She said, "I need prayer." She said, "I need to be healed." I said, "Well, you've come to the right place. You know, we could do that right here." She's like, "No, come back to my house." And she just wanted to get out of the sun on her porch because it's like 100 degrees. So we go back up to her house, just, you know, a very short distance there. And we go up to her house, and she begins to explain to us. Her name's Judy, just a sweet, sweetest lady. She's a believer. She is a spirit-filled believer. She loves the Lord. But she has been in agony for 9 months, and she didn't know what to call it. She finally had, come to the place where she had to get help. She's actually next week is the doctor appointment. That's been canceled, but we'll explain why that happened here. So she, again, to explain to us the agony that she has been in for 9 months, she said there has been a pressure, and she described it as a nerve condition or something. But there's been a pressure that goes from the top of her head, and it causes pain and numbness that goes all the way down her head, all the way down her face, in her mouth, in her teeth, in her tongue, and all the way down her neck. And that caused, she has no sensation in her face, numbness, accompanied by a great deal of pain, okay? And she said, "Please pray for me. I have to get healed of this. I have to get rid of this." And so we just do what we do. I said, "Let me take your hand. In the name of Jesus, I break the power of this over your life. Now be healed head to toe in Jesus' name right now." And then I let go of her hand and just looked at her. She goes, "It's gone." You know that moment that you love. And she threw her hands in the air and just started praising the Lord. And she said, "It's gone. It's gone. It's gone." And she goes, "Oh, now I just need my legs to be healed. I've got horrible knots in the backs of my legs that causing me such great pain." Like faith has kicked in here. And I said, "Well, check your legs because they're probably healed too." And she reached down in this leg and felt and felt and felt. And then she reached around the other leg and felt and felt and felt. She goes, "It's gone too. All the knots are gone and the pain is gone." She was completely healed head to toe instantly from agony that she could not get free of. No matter, you know, what medicine she took or whatever. And she was afraid possibly that she's going to have surgery for this, whatever. We have seen so many people have to be able to cancel their surgeries. But this woman was instantly set free of her agony, of some mysterious trauma and that would left her entire head and face and teeth. She said even her teeth are numb. That was horrible. And she was instantly set free. And she was so happy to be set free in Jesus' name. And she's like, "Let's pray for my neighborhood." So we just had a prayer meeting there. It was wonderful. But this is the effect of what going out and evicting sickness and disease does. It causes fame to spread. Somehow that woman knew, I don't know how, but somehow she knew that when we were at her door, there was hope. There was ability. There was availability of power. So put your feet in his footsteps. Begin to take steps. Listen, if you are born again, and especially if you are born again and you have been the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you are ready. You are ready to go. You may not have everything together and people maybe tell you that you're not ready. Do not disqualify what Jesus has qualified. He has qualified, Paul writes this, that we are qualified with his presence, We are qualified by the presence of his spirit in us. You are made a new man to subdue all the works of the enemy. So subdue yourself and subdue his enemies. Subdue your enemies and subdue his enemies in the name of Jesus. So be it.